Well, that's terrible. You don't do that. You don't sell people, number one. People are more important than that. And number two, you don't put serving at such a low level in people's eyes whenever Jesus came as a servant. Well, it looks like big fun. You know, have a slave sale, raise money for missions. Nobody takes that seriously. Well, you just passed on some attitudes about how far you go with God's values. Remember that chart with the different sections of the wheel? What you just said is the gospel doesn't apply to this section. That one area it doesn't really apply to. Watch the attitude you pass on through your games. I also said something else to you. You better know who the friends of your people are, because they're learning their attitudes from their peers. You know, if Susie's going with Joe Schmo and Joe's a real reprobate, Susie's going to have some struggles. Or if there's someone who's very important to them in their life, a good friend, they're picking up attitudes and values from that friend. You live in the dorm, you've automatically entered an attitude conflict, a value conflict with people living around you. You walk in the other guy's rooms, that's not pictures of Jesus on the wall. You're forced to respond to it. And the friends you develop have a great impact on your life. So who are the friends? Can you name three friends of one person you're working with? Do that right now. Think of somebody you're working with and write down the names of three of their friends. Do you know them, or are they Mr. X? Ask you another question. Write down one major value that each of those friends has, or one major thing they treasure. Yeah, those three friends that you've just written down. Write down one major thing or one major character quality that they exemplify or a value that they really treasure. Is that my glass of water?
Yeah.
Good. I think I need it. Okay. A point. People are not only exposed to your example. We tend to think we're the only ones around.
What?
People are not only exposed to your example. We think we're the only ones around. We're out there pace setting for them. They have a lot of other pace setters, and these people right here are pace setting those values for them. Their friends are examples for them. They're pace setters. Life context pace setters. With them 24 hours a day. And they're pace setting attitudes for them. Make sure you know their friends.
Where do you go after that, after you know their friends? If they do have some bad influences?
It depends on the impact the person's having on the individual. See, what this will alert you to is struggles that they're going through. Or potential struggles that may crop up, like if somebody's roommate has a real problem in a certain area, like materialism. You know, they drive a Rolls Royce, or daddy has a lot of money, and they just think that mammon is God. Then I know that's going to exert a lot of pressure on the person I'm working with to adopt materialism. So I might want to that'll alert me to potential dangers. It'll also alert me. Maybe struggles are going on right now that they're not communicating. They might not have shared that with me yet. But then two, I might want to do some preventative Bible study, like deal with mammon before this thing really gets a bite on them. So make sure you get to know the friends. Another matter related to this thing of example. If people see you as cold and unaccepting, they reject you. Now you think you're the warmest, nicest, most loving person that ever was, don't you? And anybody that has a problem with you is just off the wall. Well, a couple of years ago, we were at a church retreat, and I was wanting to pace set an attitude of receiving correction. I wanted to pace set that for the church. I didn't tell them that's what they were going to get. I asked them for feedback on my leadership, and Carolyn and Ralph and Craig were in that one. And they told me all kinds of things. One of the things they told me was, you know, you say some hard things. And it would help if every now and then you just smile a little bit. I thought, well, I'm being Mr. Personality up here. So I started trying to smile, you know, pull the ears back, get the grin up. Now, the way I thought I was coming across wasn't the way I was being perceived. And you need to communicate warmth and acceptance of other people if you expect them to open up to you and imitate you. If you are Mr. or Miss Business, you're after the objective, you know, forget people, complete the Great Commission. Watch out. Watch out. People won't imitate you. Jesus went about doing good. Living example. Something else you can do, though, in the area of example, is utilize situations. Take advantage of situations that you share together. That's using life situations. And that goes like this. One type of situation is where a quality is demonstrated or it's lacking. So whenever you see someone, like if you're working on faith, Jesus working on faith with his disciples all the time, constantly working on faith. The centurion comes up, or the fellow says, I got a servant that's ill, and I really want you to heal him. And Jesus says, okay, let's go, and I'll go heal him. He said, no, you don't have to do that. So all you've got to do is just say the word. Because I'm a man over authority. I command things to get done, they get done. I'm a man with authority. And, you know, you're a man with authority. You command, and it's done. So you just say the word, my servant will be well. What did Jesus say? Now, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Here's a pagan, a Gentile. He's got faith. I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Disciples whipped out their spiritual notebooks. Faith is important. Wrote that one down. Jesus commended faith whenever it was shown, see. They all take note. Faith is important. He commended it. So, as you're going along and someone does something that is godly, draw attention to that. You know, say to your people a little bit afterwards, or you might even say to the person, you know, that really demonstrated God. That person just like Jesus in that area. Carolyn does this really well. And she really does. She has a real ability to do that, and you could watch her and imitate her. That surfaces the things that are important for us. And we see it because most of us are pretty blind, you know. We just sort of go along. Got things on our mind, and we miss a lot of life. And the people that you work with, and you yourself are the same way. Somebody call attention to it. You see, that's right, boy. That's important. I see how it's done. So, also, you might note the lack of it. But watch this one because it shifts over really easy into judging. The wrong kind of judging. Note the lack of it. Jesus did that to the Pharisees. You hypocrites. Chapter 22 and 23 of Matthew, boy, Jesus really gets down on some people. disciples over there, you know, writing down on the tablets of their mind. Boy, we don't want to be hypocrites. Want to obey the word of God and be honest. Jesus noting the lack of it. You can do that with your people in situations, but watch. Watch out for sin. You might say, instead of, did you see what that person didn't do or what they did do? Sin! Mean, nasty, evil person. Well, Jesus did that. There might be a point where you confront it. But maybe something better would be to say, you know, in that situation, if one of us had modeled, had really set the pace in serving, had set the pace in faith, had set the pace in encouraging someone, God could have really used that. And turn it back to yourself rather than condemning them. If we had, that's a way to make it positive. But take advantage of those situations. You're going along with people. That's some of the best teaching there is. Jesus did that all the time. Best teaching takes place in life if you're going to shape values. There's another kind of situation. That's the crisis. We've already talked about that a little bit. Crises that people go through. We did those a few minutes ago with the suit for the large sum of money. What we did is we interpreted how God's trying to build something into the person. How God interpret to them in the crisis, how God is trying to build things into them. An example of this would be Hebrews 10, 35, 36, using life situations. Let me read that to you. The Hebrews, this particular gang that the letter is written to, they're under a hard time. They're having a rough time of it. The writer says, therefore, well, he goes on to remind them of some things, but recall former days when after you were enlightened, you endured hard struggle. See, tough situations again. Down to verse 35. Or let's go 34. For you had compassion on the prisoners. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession than an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have a need of endurance, so that you may do the will of God and receive what's promised. He's interpreting to them, you guys need endurance in this situation. God's trying to build that. So hang in there. Interpret life situations for people. Crisis occurs. And you can help interpret it. What do you think God's trying to say to us through this? Well, if you were to just let the flesh go, what would the flesh do? Well, I would punch him right in the nose right now. Okay, what's the opposite response of that? Love? Love and not retaliating? Okay, maybe that's what God's trying to build in us right now. Do you know a scripture related to that? See? Life situations. If you're on hand, you can help people interpret what's going on. And that builds character. Take advantage of the situations you have. Now, caution right here, though. Don't do this thing flippantly. Well, you know, praise the Lord. God's going to do something in you. God's going to build patience. He's going to build endurance. Going to keep you from being a nasty person, being revengeful. Just praise the Lord. I'd make you want to punch them, wouldn't it? You won't really understand. As you help people interpret what God is doing, you need to communicate that you love them, that you understand they're hurting. You need to communicate that you're in sympathy with their feelings and their hurts. You understand how they feel that way. But in the midst of the hurt, these are some things God might be trying to do. So don't just do it flippantly. Oh, just forget about that. Brother, God's just trying to develop non-retaliation in you. No. We hurt with those that hurt. But you can use life situations. We had a couple, three more minutes. Let's go ahead and cover these others. Read or hear about examples. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Can anybody quote that one?
The word of the Lord not only
For they themselves. So, see, the word about the Thessalonians had gone out. People were hearing about that example, and they were talking to others. You know what that does? That stirs us to change our own attitudes. Another real clear situation is 2 Corinthians 9:2. Paul does this all the time in the early church. Paul goes around from church to church gossiping the good things. Man, did you hear about what happened to the Galatians? Well, the Ephesians, they burned all kinds of books. They turned from sorcery to following God. That turns our hearts, see. We hear about the examples, people that are really moving on to know God. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Someone have it? Read it for us. Or 9:2, rather. I'm bragging about you guys. I'm telling you good news about what God's doing in you to others. You know what happens to the others? They start hauling out the pocketbook too. Because God uses the example of others that we hear about to stir us. Now you need to use that kind of example for others. You can do it several ways. Hearing about it or reading about them is the next best thing to being with them. Tell them the good things that others are doing. Somebody else in BSU has done something with God right in this very area. And you'd say to them, you know, so-and-so is such a faithful person. Last week they did this, this, and this. To me, they were faithful to me. Or somebody leads somebody to Christ. Best thing to do with that information is tell everybody. Somebody's committed their life to Jesus. So-and-so stuck with them and shared the gospel and loved them, and they've committed their life to Christ. That starts you wanting to do it, you know. Starts motivating you. So you hear of good things, spread it. Now, what you don't do is say, George right here is a mighty evangelist. This man is skilled, gifted, equipped. What you say is, God has used George to love people and to reach them. People are coming to know Jesus, and you focus on what God is doing. You give praise to God, and you acknowledge George. So we're not out to pump George up. We want to honor Jesus. But as people respond to God, spread the news. Now, what's one good thing you know that happened in somebody's life this last week? Somebody took a real positive step toward God. And it's not a confidence kind of thing, but you know it's a good news kind of thing. What is one that happened this last week? Can you think of one?
Well, my best friend of mine who became a Christian last year is just now realizing she just didn't grow forever and ever, and she's starting to grow. It's really exciting. She's been roommates again. She's really starting to read the Bible, and I'm just really lonely.
Okay. Now, is it okay for that to be public information?
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't mind you telling.
Oh, no. She's really excited about
okay.
It.
Then what? What you can do to somebody else that's sort of struggling is say, you know, so-and-so got excited about Jesus, and she's into the Word, and boy, she's getting insights out of the Word. God showed her this last week. Her life's changing. You know what that does? Makes you want to get into the Word, doesn't it? Can you think of another one? Okay, how could that be turned into good news to motivate someone?
Good friend of mine just found it 30 minutes ago.
Okay. Okay, there's one thing right there to motivate people. Somebody's committed their lives to Christ. Jesus is getting ready to change a life in a brand new direction. You can either say, oh, somebody else committed their life to Christ. Or you can get excited about what God's doing. Ralph?
George Callahan shared with Randy Fullerton the bridge illustration. And the day after, he led somebody to the Lord using the bridge illustration. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay. See there? That's good news, isn't it? You hear about that, you want to share the bridge with somebody, don't you? Learn to pick up on good news and pass it on. Most of us just sort of go by dull. We just, you know, we got a little hamster trail. Trying to get through that thing. Open your eyes and see what God's doing and pass it on. Good news is tremendous. Share how people are loving God and how they're honoring God. Ralph?
An illustration of that this week, one of the guys I was working with said he'd really like to build faithfulness in his life. So I said, well, who is a faithful person? And they said, well, Bruce is. I said, well, why don't you interview him? And I saw him on the stairs the other day, and I said, Bruce, somebody really complimented you the other day for being a faithful man. And he looked at me like God had just returned. Because he had been really, God had just surfaced some areas that he had been struggling with. And he said, that's the most encouraging word I've heard all week.
Now, a lot of times that word needs to go back to the individual quick. Now, again, we're not trying to flatter people. We're trying to honor God and spread the word that honors God. Spread it in such a way it honors God. But never somebody does anything that shows love for the Lord and honors Jesus, get the word out, you know. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. God is showing so and so these things in quiet time. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it starts others to moving. Jesus used parables the same way. You can use stories, you can use parables. Like the Good Samaritan. He told what the Good Samaritan did. What'd that do? It makes you want to bind up somebody. You go by, you know, and you don't want to be a priest. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Go by on the other side of the road. I'd really like to stop this guy, but good grief, it's already in. The example that you hear about makes you want to do something. The prodigal son. You hear about the example, then you want to do something positive in response to it. Well, he came home to the Father. I want to, too. I want to have all that God has in humility. I want to just bask in his love. Jesus used parables. Read biographies of persons with that strength. Dawes, Diary of John Wesley, C.T. Studd. You might, I don't know if you have a biography list that models different strengths, but that'd be a helpful thing. Like, who's a real servant? Who's a real man of prayer? But watch out, because all of these books are overbalanced. Someone with a real strength in their life is pretty well overbalanced. You know, admire it, learn from it. But just watch. You get the idea, like, after reading Praying Hide, that you shouldn't do anything but pray. And so you get false ideas. Prayer is not a part of the ministry. It is the ministry. It's not true. Prayer is part of the ministry. What? Yeah, it sounds real good. The enemy got a twist on that one. Some people it will discourage, and that's one of the dangers in the biographies. Like you read about Dawes, you know, some people quit right there. I can never do that. I'll never have that spirit of excellence. And then some people vicariously identify. I've read Dawes. He had a spirit of excellence. What's wrong with all of you people? This is a sloppy. We have people come away really critical. They don't ever ask a question about themselves. So you just watch whenever you deal with biographies. I think there'll be a real strength, but you may have some little bit of correcting to do afterwards. And one last thing, see films or hear tapes about people who exemplify the attitude or the character quality. Film Johnny is coming out. It's already been around, been previewed. There's going to be an example of someone who, in the midst of suffering, has endured tremendously, and God is doing tremendous works through her life. Unable to use her body, yet her ministry is touching the world. See, there's going to be a film for people that easily turn away to curse God. So, films can help. We're dealing primarily right here with examples. One last one is authoritative sources. I just want to mention it. We'll quit. Confront sources which they consider authoritative that say that this thing is valuable. could be a person. You know, Professor so-and-so shares his faith. I believe university professors are really authorities. Now, if he shares his faith, then boy, I want to do that. Could be a research report. Could be a book. But what a person considers an authority, if that authority says that thing, then they tend to identify with it. Sort of goes like this. Now, if a person accepts the authority, they tend to accept his advice. That's what advertising works on. People that are considered authority figures. It's more effective if they see the person in person. They can see their face, facial expression, tones of the voice. Those things really help transmit the character quality. Two questions you need to ask, though, is what are their authorities? What do your people really value as authorities? They value the Bible? You know, they're supposed to, but do they? You want to find someone, the key is the one they think is authority, who will say the right things. The Bible is our authority, and we need to learn to value it. But for this gal that has a real struggle with women's role, who doesn't accept the authority of the Bible, if you could find somebody that she really accepted as a real authority in the world, who said the same things you did, that would rattle her cage. And who accepted the Bible. And figure out who that is. This is one of the really joyous things, see, about the conversion of Bob Dylan. A lot of people in my age group, some younger and some older, for whom Dylan was a real authority. And Dylan committing his life to Christ has rattled all kinds of people because he was the philosophical antagonist in the middle and late 60s and on down in the 70s. Philosophical fountainhead with a lot of antagonism to Christianity. And suddenly the authority turns and says, Jesus is my Lord. That rattles a lot of people. Maybe I better check this thing out. Do use the Bible here. Get into the Word of God. See what the Word of God says. That's one of your authorities. If they don't accept that, try to find one they do. But if they accept this person as important, they tend to accept his advice. Okay, we're going to quit there. Come back and talk about thinking. We're dealing with example right now. Show you where we're headed. We're dealing with the example. Then we're going to deal with thinking, help them think. We're going to deal with emotions, and then we're going to deal with acting. Sources. Yeah, a couple of questions under authoritative sources. Number one, who is their authority? Then number two, or what type of person or what type of things are their authority? Number two, is there one that says the same things that I do? Who is he? Where is he? What's his name? Let's get him here quick. That means you reflect on the person and you have to get to know the person whom they value. I appreciate the time together.